Welcome to Check Chat number 39 for October 29, 2009. Bunch of nines there. This is Michael Loff, and I'm excited to have a couple of guests with me tonight as we talk about, I think, a very interesting topic, Twitter. I know we've talked about it before, but at that time, there really was not any useful Windows applications. The accessible iPhone hadn't come onto the scene just yet. It was a matter at that point of going to the website, but a lot has changed, not only in the applications that we can use to get there, but the number of blind and visually impaired folks and the public at large. Recent studies show 20% or 1 out of 5 adults uses Twitter. The thing to keep in mind is that Twitter is the premier, the de facto way to stay up on the latest news and information. And so whether you're interested in access technology, technology in general, there's just so many uses and ways that people are using Twitter, so much so that it is putting many newspapers out of business, and many newspapers who are staying in business are changing their focus, realizing that they can't compete with the timeliness of Twitter to get news out right away. So what newspapers actually switching their focus to investigative reporting. And I think that's a good thing, actually. That's where the media has realized the strengths and weaknesses of each other and work to accommodate and go from there. Our guests tonight, our panel here, we have two individuals. We have Mr. Randy Rusnak. You do a lot of AT training, right, in Minnesota in the Duluth area?
I certainly do, yes.
And also joining us is Robert Carter, who's a psychologist and just an all-around cool tech guy, as I wrote here on the webpage. Thanks for joining us tonight,
Robert. Nice thing to say. If you can call me a geek, I'd be really happy.
I fell short of geek because some folks are offended by it, but I love it. I think it's
great. I love it.
I wear it with pride.
To start with is the why. And I want to ask each of you first, you, Randy, how has Twitter changed your life? What are you doing now, or what are you doing better than before you started using it?
Now everything has changed. I find myself emailing and Twittering and forgetting, you know, which one I'm actually doing because I'm doing so much tweeting, communicating with a lot of people and encouraging a lot of my students to join me on Twitter as well because it helps them to communicate. It helps them to, you know, stay focused with their friends. It's just really a big part of technology, actually.
Obviously, I still use email, especially work-related, but I email much less. In the past, where there would be items of interest, I would email to all the group of people that I thought would be interested. I just now broadcast it, and if you're not following me on Twitter, in this case, twitter.com/SeroTalk, you're really not going to know what cool things I'm finding as I cruise the internet. I mean, it's just more efficient to send it to all 300 of my followers than to email and go through and get, well, he might like it, she might not. But also just getting rid of what to me has always been an annoyance, not so much the technology, but people who don't know how to use it, and that's the infamous email list. And I don't want to put anything against them. There are many great lists.
There are. But most of those email lists, though, have all either combined or have gone to Twitter.
Yeah. Robert, what does it mean to you? How has it changed your life, and how has Twitter integrated into your life?
I signed up for Twitter early on when it first started hearing about it, and I didn't make much use of it. I was trying to use the website interface. Didn't really find very many people that I wanted to follow or that I knew, I guess. But all that really changed for me when some of the good Windows applications for Twitter came along, and it made it much easier to interface with Twitter. And that's what made it exciting then, because it's right there all the time on my desktop at my fingertips, and I'm always checking to see what's going on. I follow an astronaut on the space station. I follow a couple of CNN feeds, and I follow an awful lot of people who are into access technology. And so as soon as something happens, one of us is going to be tweeting about it within a few minutes. For example, today I learned that there was new firmware for the NLS talking book player, the digital player. As soon as something happens, it shows up on Twitter. That's what really makes a difference for me. I've got some tweets actually coming to my iPhone. The SeroTalk one comes to my iPhone as a text message. So when something gets tweeted, I see it on my phone, even if I'm not near the computer. So it's very versatile and very flexible.
I was at work. If nobody tells, I know. Hardly anybody's hearing this, right? I was following the boy in the balloon story. Not only was I following that, but students came in. I was listening to the helicopter feed. And they're going, what's that? And I go, well, that's Twitter. That's Twitter. I want in. So very cool stuff.
I'm just showing here on the screen. Randy, of course, you oversee the Accessible Devices blog and podcast. I know you work with Parker and Terry and some other folks in making that happen. But you got some really good stuff up there. You just did two on the iPhone. You've worked with Robert and done some extensive reviews of the NLS Digital.
Robert. Yep. Robert and Steve Sazen and you and all my friends. It was like old home week. It was great. We had a great time doing the podcasts. And we even talked about Twitter on the iPhone podcast.
Yeah, so I wanted to show that to folks, accessible-devices.com. Guys, one thing that's throwing our users, they're getting hung up on the mighty CAPTCHA. I think when many of us went into it, we didn't have that issue. Using the multi-word CAPTCHAs, do you have any tips for people getting around the CAPTCHAs? Of course, there's what I'm bringing up here, Celona.net, my Celona.
WebVism.
Yeah, WebVism, of course, the app for Firefox, the plugin. So those are a couple ways to get the captions. But I think the main thing with those multi-word captions, if you guess a couple times, you'll get it. People are throwing to give you five words, and you're supposed to figure out which two they want. It's usually like nouns or adjectives. It's the important words. It's the gist of what those words mean.
Yeah, it's words, and I've seen a couple of them that are numbers. And so it varies a little bit from service to service. I like the Celona service. I know they've had some problems keeping it staffed all the time or as much as they would like to. I have used it a couple times, and it's really cool. You just send them a screenshot of your page, and in a few minutes, they will send you back exactly what you need to type in. So one way around it, CAPTCHAs really are a problem for Twitter, Facebook, Google Mail, a lot of things.
Just in the States, I know it's the overnight hours, the 10:30, 11 to 7 kind of window. So be mindful of that, and that will work for you. And of course, there's WebVism. If you're an avid Firefox user, you can use that. Mention the new software, and we have three new pieces of software. And I'm going to start, I guess, with the one that I think people are using most. We all have different software that we like. The first one is called Quitter, Quitter, and it's quitter-client.net. So we're going to talk about that as well as the McTwit program from Jamal Masri. So really, I guess we'll talk about the pros and cons of each. So I'll start with you, Randy. What do you like, and maybe what kind of sets you back when it comes to the use of Quitter?
Well, I like Quitter. I do. It's my program of choice. The reason that I like it is because I really can't say it any better than Ricky said it the other day, and she said that it's right at your fingertips. There are quite a few keyboard commands to learn, but once you learn them, it's just so easy. The interface is just great. It has sound packs, which I really like, to let you know if you have a direct tweet, if you have a reply to a tweet, or if you're retweeting, whatever it is that you're doing, you have sounds to let you know that you are engaging in an item that you want to interact with, and that's why I like it. Tremendous amount of flexibility, I think, at Quitter. It's not a complicated interface, and it does Twitter, and it does it well, and that's what it does, and that's all it does. If Michael is sending a link, you can easily find that link with Quitter and interface with it and jump right to that page.
And for some people, it's a downside. It doesn't have a GUI. In other words, you can't alt-tab into a window and just use the command. So you have, I guess, a lot of three key commands, control, Windows key, and another letter to perform functions. So the plus is that you can do it from anywhere in Windows.
Yeah, I think that's something that maybe people don't realize is that it doesn't have a standard interface at all. You don't even go into its own window to use it. You just simply use it by holding down these special hotkeys. You don't have to get out of your word processor or your email or whatever it is you're working on to check the tweets that are coming in from Twitter. And it does, like Randy said, take just a little memorization to memorize some of the keystrokes, but they're very logical.
For instance, if you're in an email, I was emailing with someone and working with Quitter. I couldn't remember which I was doing, emailing or Twittering, because I can do both at the same time. Even your sound editor, if you're working with a sound editor, you know, if you hear something coming in, like from Saratech, it'll tell you. You just interact with it and go on your way.
Yeah, it's a great program, and I got the README file up here, which it seems to be pretty well documented. Get started with that. What would you say to a new user coming in? I have no clue what to do. We tell them go to twitter.com. They got to choose a name, find a name that's not already taken, get past the CAPTCHA, get themselves set up, and let's just say they want Quitter. What's the 1, 2, 3 to get up and get started?
Read that README file. People say, I don't want to read that. I just want to interact with it. Really, with Quitter, you really must read it. Otherwise, you have to.
Because it's not standard, so you won't just be able to intuitively figure it out. But the good news is, the README file is comprehensive, but it's short. They just have the information that you need there. And once you read it, it's very easy to run the setup program. It's a standard installation. And then once it's installed, you simply follow the directions from the README file to know how to interact. Enter your username and password. And then from there, it's pretty automatic. Your tweets just start coming in every 4 minutes.
Yep. I was working with a gentleman who did not want to get on Twitter in the first place, but he needed to because we needed to communicate between emails. He and I weren't communicating. We just weren't. And I said, Parker, whoops, slipped.
The McTwit program, because it separates the new messages from the direct.
Yeah.
And if you click direct, you get all the new messages.
You bet.
In addition. And so I didn't see your post right away. And I actually got an email.
Oh, that's right. We should mention that. The directs, you get it every time you get a direct, if you have Twitter set up this way, you get a direct email notification.
Yeah, so that's important to have if you're out in the field. Let's move on to McTwit. So number six, there is a direct link for McTwit. It's the version 2.6. Let's talk about the pros and cons of this application. I'll start with you, Randy.
I like the program, but there's so much involved with it. I guess the only thing I can say is once you really learn McTwit, then you can really use it to its full potential. And I know that kind of sounds like a strange comment, but it is true. There are things built into it like driving directions and so many languages you can convert tweets into. And to be honest with you, I don't use it.
Alt-N to get your new tweets, but it doesn't include your direct messages. So then you hit Alt-D for that. Or if you want to send a tweet, you hit Alt-T and type in. You have up to 140 characters. You have what they call the retweet, which is Alt-3. Now, of course, if you use Window Eyes and you don't change the hotkeys, I think you have to hit Insert B to bypass and then hit Alt-3 to type that in.
Yep, and I'm not taking anything away from McTwit. There's a lot built into it.
Again, read the documentation.
Yep,
Jamal explains it, but you need to read it. And you can tab through, and if you have the ability to put your mouse right, there's a status line, and it'll tell you what that is as you're moving past it. So everything is there. There's a lot of hotkeys. There's a lot of power. As you mentioned, there's a lot of different searches. But one of the things that we like about Twitter that I don't see in McTwit is the ability just to search Twitter itself. Now, maybe it's there. Maybe it's been added. A lot of new things added of late. But just the ability, say, I want to just put in a search for Serotalk or blindness so that anytime someone tweets with that word, I can see that timeline. And I know Ricky and I were discussing, it was very interesting to find out just the comments that people make about blindness or whether it's dating or seeing someone in public. It's kind of, it's interesting, informative, and a little bit scary, kind of showing that we still have a long way to go.
I did a search for accessible devices. I got all kinds of things that I never knew that people thought about it. It's a neat way to find out information.
Yeah, that capability has been added to McTwit in recent updates. The thing that I like about McTwit is that it really does a great job of allowing you to manage your Twitter account. People who are following you and also the people you're following. It's very powerful in how you can easily look at them and block people if you don't want them to follow you, or how you can add people to follow. You can do most of that in Twitter as well.
You can't block, I don't think.
Someone sent out a tweet and mentioned someone's Twitter name in that tweet, and I needed to take a look at some of the messages that that person had been sending recently because I wanted some information that they had sent out. And so with McTwit, it's very easy to just enter that person's Twitter name into McTwit, and then when you do things like tell it to get messages, it will get the messages that that person has been sending rather than your own messages for the period of time that you have that person's name entered as the user. And so I was able to go back easily and look at the recent messages that that person had sent out. If there is an easy way or a way to do that with Twitter, I don't know what it is.
You follow a couple people, and then you can go look at their followers, see who they're following, and read some of their tweets and decide, is that an interesting person? Do you care? I don't really know them, so I don't really care about their daily details. Or,
it's a very good way to figure out who to follow.
Exactly. And don't worry, start out small. Just follow a few folks, get yourself comfortable with it. And of course, you can always go to twitter.com/whatever their name is. In our case, Serotalk or ABC News. And then you can go read. Once you're logged in, there's a button that says subscribe. So you can first go down below that button, read some of the tweets, and say, okay, I like what they're reporting, or no, I really don't care. And that's a great way to find new resources as well. One last app that none of us are using, perhaps we should be, called TwinBox or TWNBox. This is a plugin for Outlook. If you use Outlook on a regular basis, 2003 or 2007, this is something you should certainly take a look at. Jonathan Mosen highly speaks of it. You have the ability to, you know, create folders for your different tweets, and you can do a lot of specific searches. So if there's a lot of different keywords and things that you want to search, you can do so. The website is TechHit, www.techhit.com. TechHit.com. So anyone using Outlook, definitely take a look at that. A pretty powerful application, and I need to sit down and dive into it, because really what I want to be able to do is to search multiple queries and just different keywords. So that may be one of the best applications for doing that in the Windows domain space. As far as the iPhone, I'm going to first click on the link of accessible iPhone applications created by Holly Anderson, hosted at maxaccessibility.net.
Great resource.
Yeah, great resource. There's well over 100 applications there. What you do is you choose a category, and then the bottom of the page, a frame automatically updates with that information. Down at the bottom of the page, past all the categories, the specific Twitter apps that they have to offer. And these are direct downloads, so yes, it will take you directly to the iTunes store where you can purchase these. Some are free, some have some cost involved with them. Screenless Switchers blog and podcast, they just did a podcast, and they covered nine different iPhone apps, specifically for Twitter. Lengthy, 111 minutes, but if you want to know all the options, they do demo each, talk about each. Steve Sawson and Justin Romack and Holly Anderson and Darcy Bernard.
They demo them, so you can really get a good flavor. A lot of them are fairly similar, honestly, because Twitter is one basic thing that we get onto and we send and receive short messages, and that's the basis of it. But they all have their own uniquenesses and their own special features that they've added in, or their own interface, maybe. So it's a really cool podcast, because you'll really get a good flavor for whether you would want one of those apps or not.
For those of you who don't know, you have 140 characters that you can put in an edit box when you're composing your message. And you learn to really get your point across in 140 characters. You might not think you could, but you can say an awful lot by using shortcut letters, rather, instead of words like U for U and R for R. Many times I've got my point across. No one yet has said, what is he saying?
And you can also shorten the URL. So if you're linking to a web link, you can use that as well. But to me, that is the number one strength. It forces you to be concise. Get to the point.
McTwit and the beta of Quitter have the ability to shorten URLs right within their software.
Let's discuss that for a moment. You can use Tiny URL. That's one of them that you can shorten URLs anymore.
Yeah,
there's bit.ly, right? L-Y, bit.ly, ping.fm. Links 10 through 14 are direct downloads. Number 10, none of us are using yet, but highly rated and just loved by some, and I know we have some background on it, is Boxcar.
Boxcar is a very interesting app, especially if you have the iPhone and you don't have the unlimited text messaging plan, because Boxcar allows you to take advantage of something in the iPhone called push technology, which allows things to be pushed to the iPhone through Apple. When something is pushed to the iPhone, you get a little notification saying that you have a new message. Boxcar allows you to set up Twitter feeds that you want to be pushed to your iPhone. So when someone that you've subscribed to through Boxcar sends out a tweet, you get a notification. It's great for things like CNN breaking news, or perhaps Serotalk, or maybe even accessible devices. Who knows? Could start tweeting. I think Steve said that there is a way to have it tweet the public timeline, but you don't want it.
So that, I think, what, $2.99 for that. But then also you can basically pay per keyword searches. So say if I want every mention of Serotalk, I pay them a one-time fee of $1.99, and I can toggle it on and off, but I only pay that once, and I guess indefinitely into the future, anytime someone mentions Serotalk or accessible devices or whatever I choose to have them search for, it will automatically be sent to Apple and then sent to my iPhone. So that's a great way to stay in touch with a specific entity or industry or what have you.
There are some different sounds that you can associate with the different types of tweets that you get, and so it makes it real nice for you to be able to tell, even just by hearing the sound, whether it's a direct message or something else.
Some of that is mentioned on the iPhone podcast that we just put up, so you might go and give that a listen.
Yeah, we have those in the Socializer, of course, accessible-devices.com for that. Item 11 here is one that Robert and I are using, and some folks don't like, and there certainly are some more powerful apps, but I guess it's the ease of use with this one. Tweetero, Tweetero.
That is a free app, and it's very straightforward. It's simple. The interface, though, is completely accessible and reliable in my experience. It only downloads 20 tweets at a time, so you have to refresh it after you read each 20, and it goes and gets 20 more. But you can do all the basic things that you would want to do on Twitter with it. Some people don't like it because it gives you the time of each tweet. And so you
I prefer that.
I like that myself, actually. Like some do, some don't.
Some do, some don't.
But it would be nice, I guess, to toggle it. If you like it, great. If not...
Yeah, some people say it slows them down. I like it fine. It puts it in perspective on what order they're in. With the 9 accessible Twitter apps that have already been discussed, you know, there are plenty more options, possibilities. But I haven't really felt the need to have more than Tweetero so far on my phone because it does what I need to do when I want to use Twitter on my iPhone.
And not only can you Twitter, not only can you text, but you can also do audio tweets.
Yeah, we'll get to that here in just a second. One of the other ones we have here is Twitelator Pro, Twitelator, Twitelator Pro. They have been working to make it more accessible. I haven't made the financial investment, and it seems, to my recollection, be kind of the first one that blind folks were using. It seemed to be one of the first ones that people found to be usable enough that they could get in there and do what they need. And what we mean by that is a lot of times these have icons or buttons that aren't labeled. So sometimes it's as simple as fixing that, and sometimes there's other issues. Two, one for video and one for audio. Of course, the video would also contain audio. There's one called TwitVid, TwitVid. So if you actually want to do video tweets, I think that's pretty cool. So maybe you want to capture a family moment, or you just happen to see an accident or something take place and you want to post that and share that with others. Or you just like seeing yourself on the internet. You can even see it back on the iPhone. I think it uses QuickTime. So there you go, TwitVid. Voice Tweety. This is one that Randy was talking about. You can actually do audio messages, a couple different services. There's MobiPix, and then there's TWAUD.io. They call it Twaudio, but it's TWAUD.io. They have a limit of 10 megabytes, and I think under normal conditions, that can give you about a 20-minute audio file. So some folks have been doing that, kind of doing news or just playing around or just getting a group recording of some people together. I think all this stuff's experimental. Site's free right now, probably when they, you know, they're building a business model, is what happens with all new technology, and eventually they'll charge for the service, and then maybe you'll have unlimited, or you'll be curious to see where it goes in the future. But so Voice Tweety is a way that you can go beyond, because a lot of people are annoyed just trying to type on an iPhone. It takes a little bit of time, so to be able to do audio or video.
When you're on Twitter and someone sends a voice tweet, you get a tweet that simply has a link in it. Most of the Twitter clients will let you open a link or click on a link within the client, and it'll just start playing that voice tweet. And what's really nice about it is that they don't take you to a web page where you have to search around for some flash content. They just stream it right when you click on the link. It's a great way to communicate.
Yesterday, people were saying, when is podcast number 8 coming up for that iPhone? And I used that service to give a little coming attraction, complete with sounds and a little bit of the iPhone sounds that you provided. You can look down at the page of the posting that you made, and others can look at it to see how many hits the page has on your audio tweet.
You can also do it via email, so you can use it and upload, you know, create a file locally on your computer with SoundForge if you want something a little higher quality, and, you know, email it and submit it that way.
In the last date of Twitelator Pro, just yesterday, a lot of accessibility enhancements were made, and that was coming from a Skype text. Thank you, Steve.
Thanks, Steve, for that information. Item 15 is an app specifically for the Macintosh called Syrinx, S-Y-R-I-N-X. I believe this is www.mrrsoftware.com. I'm going to let Robert go into this. I think you use it more than I do, but it really does pretty much encapsulate every function of Twitter and is definitely proven to be the most accessible application. There is also something called Twitterific, but everyone that I know seems to be using Syrinx.
Yeah, I use it all the time. I think it actually works about as well as the Windows apps. I might go to McTwit if I want to do some real serious management of my account. But even with Syrinx, you can add people and remove people if you use the toolbar. It's a perfectly accessible application on the Mac. It has some nice sounds that you can associate with different things. I've got a little trumpet sound that plays when new tweets.
It's got a toggle for the timeline, so you can either have it tell you the time or not. Now, I turned it off only because it does date and time. I wish it would just do the time. It's too verbose.
It does have an issue with Snow Leopard where it wants to speak the tweet twice when you down arrow through the tweets, but it's easy enough to work around.
Because you hear it, then you down arrow and you move on. And I think there may even be an adjustment in VoiceOver to fix that. None of us using Windows mobile devices, so there's item 16, the only option I'm aware of, called Twikini, T-W-I-K-I-N-I. A lot of folks using that with their various Windows mobile phones.
Really nice Twitter application for the Symbian phones called Tweet S60, which works very well.
Do a search for Tweet S60, those of you using the Nokia phones. Our favorite resources of both of you mentioned some at the beginning. Now, the first one I posted here was a little different. RSS feed of Serotalk's content. And the reason I posted that was to show that every Twitter page has a link at the bottom that is their RSS feed. So the reason you could put that in your web browser, you could use some kind of RSS aggregator. Or if you're a member of SAMNet, you could even go and put those in the My Newspaper. So maybe if you're unsure about it, maybe you don't want to post right away, you just want to follow some news organizations, sign up first, at least have the account, twitter.com/CNN, and then get this feed and then plug it into your newspaper, and off you go with the latest and greatest news. We have Blind Bargains, of course, JJ, coming up with some of the best deals out there, assistive technology, and some other just cool stuff. Good prices, whether it's eBay or just special deals from the vendors and so forth. Blind Cool Tech, amateur submissions of podcasts, people demonstrating different products and services, and some people get audio recordings of things like concerts and fireworks. You can certainly follow them, and then anytime a new post is made, anytime a new podcast is put up, you're made aware of it, so you can go there when you see something of interest. There's a Fred's Head from APH. Michael McCarty will give you a wealth of new stuff there. And then the rest of these are different news feeds, and some of these I didn't even have before tonight. So my point is, a lot of times, you're so I don't know where these feeds are. You can just guess. I went to twitter.com/ABC News, and what do I find? The ABC News feed and their stories. Same with CBS News, twitter.com/CNN for CNN, /Fox News for Fox News, NBC News for NBC News, NPR News for news from the National Public Radio Service. And then I had a few, I just called them miscellaneous. A lot of technology stuff. The only one I posted here was Ars Technica. It's the one I read the most. Put a link up to Coast to Coast AM. A lot of folks listen to that. So if you like kind of the weird, strange news out there and you listen to that show, you can follow them on Twitter. And then I got a link to Recalls. It's the recalls.gov. It's the U.S. government. Anytime there's products recalled, whether it be food or peanut butter, different appliances or, you know, automobiles, certain parts need to be replaced, you can follow recalls and stay up on that if that's of interest to you. This doesn't even begin to scratch the surface. There's so much.
Well, if you're a shopaholic, QVC can be followed on Twitter. I've purchased smokers and a lot of things through them. I love Blind Bargains. I go there in search of bargains.
There's also Woot, W-O-O-T, yep, that has the Woot, deal yep, of the I'm day. Kind of dangerous. You end up buying. You got to be careful. Make sure some of the stuff's not junk. But usually it's really good deals.
It is.
It's
yeah.
a one item every day, and they post it right at midnight Central Time. They're located in Texas. Robert,
yeah,
what about yourself?
I follow CNN breaking news. I follow NASA.
Me too.
Which is kind of interesting. I'm actually following Nicole Stott, who's on the International Space Station right now. She's always tweeting information about what she's doing on the space station. I think Michael may have said this earlier, but just to reiterate, you know, it's really an interesting way to get your news and get your information. It's very nice that it's only 140 characters because the little news blurb that you get has to be straight to the point and you don't have to mess around. And if you want to read more about it, what they said or what they're briefly describing, there's usually a link to go to read the full article. So you can't beat it. It's really nice.
Question from Richard Wells. If you're away from a Twitter client and have access to Twitter, try http://m.slander, that's I believe with an R, slandr.net. Good point. That's a mobile phone. Any of those with the M dot, whatever, is a great tool for mobile phones.
Get on Twitter. It's fun. It's cool. It's happening. You know, it's right now.
How would each of you compare with Facebook? Do you use both?
I don't use Facebook.
I don't either, but I heard some interesting demographics, but it was comparing Facebook, MySpace, and Twitter, and Twitter is really at the top.
Yeah, I think it is. I mean, just the phenomenal growth, especially back in the winter months, it just really took off. 20% of adults, some people might think, well, there's 80% that aren't, but if you get one out of five people in the country or world to do something, that's pretty impressive.
A lot of people, I think, have the idea, and there's some truth to it, I guess, that Twitter is full of trivia. You don't want to read that someone's going to get a cup of coffee. Who cares? And there is that. But there's a lot of really good information coming across the timelines on Twitter.
Just as an example, I was saying one day I was tweeting with someone and I said, I'm reading this great book and it is yada-da-da-da. And somebody said, geez, I'd like to have that book. Is it an LS copy? And I said, yeah, it was. And here it is. And gave him the direct link to it. Don't think that you have to just post news articles. Certainly talk about yourself a little bit. God only knows I like to do that.
Well, and I don't because I have the Serotalk moniker. That's why, I guess if I had a mic loft. But I don't know how much different it would be. I did post a few, like the first time I had shell shock when I went to the grocery store and spent $400, or when Sarah and I were at ACB. You can't be offended if you follow someone or someone decides not to follow you. Some people take it personally and you really can't or shouldn't.
Oh, because you can't, because
people will follow
so much
you.
Out there.
They will follow you because you've used certain words. You know, they're interested in what you're talking about at that moment and that day at time.
Well, for instance, businesses will follow you if you do a certain, like I did, I was talking about a Skype application for recording and I had just mentioned it and bam, you know, I got hit with a follower. And, you know, you can choose to block them if you want to. They're a business, you know, so who cares?
One of the cool things that we really haven't mentioned about Twitter is that it's especially useful if you attend a conference or a concert with multiple performers or something. And there are people tweeting about what's going on at that conference. And so you learn pretty quickly, go to this session or avoid this session because it was about blah, blah, and you don't care about that. And it's just a great way to communicate with people, even in a conference setting or something like that.
Do you remember the BookSense opening? Most of us that wanted to know about the BookSense were all there, you know, online, and we were going to hear what the BookSense sounded like and when the price broke. I was there tweeting with a bunch of followers and a couple of them couldn't make it. And so I was tweeting how many people were in the room, what was happening. And I was doing it right from my netbook, right in the middle of my classroom with other students to show them how Twitter could be used in that way.
Well, that's a good point. Like you said, conventions and stuff where people will say type, you know, number sign ACB 2009 or whatever, kind of using the whole number sign so that you can follow different events, and that way everyone who's there can share their experiences and you can really track what's going on. It's very cool.
Even some of the Apple events, when they have a press conference, people will tweet the essence of the keynote address so you know kind of what was said if you can't get it live.
Right, because there's only a very limited number of people could watch it live because of the demands of the internet. There might be a million people that want to know what's going on, so maybe a couple thousand get to see it live. Otherwise, right, they're tweeting things as they happen. I wonder technology's really going to hold on or it's going to be another fad like the CB radio. I don't think so. I really think Twitter's going to be around for quite a while in the future. Now, certainly it could be circumvented by a technology that's more efficient, or maybe someone comes out with Spitter that gives you 300 characters or something. I don't know. But would you agree? I mean, I really think this technology's going to be out there for quite a while.
Well, social networking is just here. It could branch off into something. Maybe it wouldn't be Twitter, but it might be something else. People, though they like texting, they also like audio too. And they are going to try to incorporate more real-time audio, if you will, into some of these applications. So not only will you be able to do texting, but you'd be able to send bursts of things that you want to say. And there are several people that are working that right now. Now, wouldn't that be cool? Give you a 10-second audio burst.
Perhaps. Yeah, let's limit it to 20 seconds, because that's the attention span of most humans, as I learned from PBS.
What did you just say?
From rambling. Yeah, 20 seconds, Randy.
Learn to talk fast.
That's the key, people just thinking before they speak. That's going to be the big if. What do you want to leave our listeners with, Randy?
Well, I just think that if you're on the fence, get on Twitter.
Follow me if you get on Twitter at Robert_Carter.
And you can follow me at The Big R, all run together and no caps.
The Big R.
The Big R. Follow me. Come on. I dare you.
Do you have a feed for accessible devices?
It's rather a long one. Just go to accessible devices and just go to the top of the page, you can just subscribe.
Very good. We got it here. Link number 3. I think it is accessible-devices.com. Check out Randy's great work. He's doing some great job editing the Skype interviews. Coming up in November, we're going to be talking about, as soon as we can get the information, of course, the new exciting KNFB e-reader that everybody's just buzzing about. And again, you can always submit your suggestions. If there's a topic you'd like to see us cover and explain in greater detail, by all means, resources@serotalk.com. If you would like to come on the program and be a guest speaker or presenter, or know of someone you think would be interesting, by all means, let us know. This is a community effort, and we're very excited about the buzz that we're getting. So again, it's resources@serotalk.com. www.thehackchat.com is, of course, the mechanism for that. So, gentlemen, I thank both of you for joining me tonight.
Thank you for asking me.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, a lot of fun and a lot of coverage.
So until we meet again next week, folks, we as always invite you to stay connected and stay directed.